life can be such a strain, can it, beloved? I mean, sometimes it seems like everything is coming down on us at once, and we are bent over and bent over and bent over, and we think we'll never lift our head again, we'll never see the light of day. Oh, beloved, yes, you will. You will if you will remember that the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. And if you recognize that and you remember that, you're going to be so set free. We'll talk about it today. I love the Word of God, and I love taking a story that you and I have known and heard as a child, although many children today don't hear Bible stories anymore, but a story that we have heard and plumb the depths of it. And really, I'm not going to be able to plumb the depths of it, but we're going to learn so much from this story, because this was written for our instruction. This was written for our encouragement. This was written so that we might persevere. This was written so that you and I might have hope. Hope when a Goliath comes against us. Now, as we look at all these things, and as I talk about, okay, what is faith's battle strategy, or what do you do when a Goliath comes against you? I want you to understand that Goliath is an enemy of God. So I'm not talking about what happens when another brother or another sister comes against you and it's in family fighting. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Goliath being representative of the enemy of God. Goliath wanting to wipe out the people of God. I'm talking about a warfare that goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, when God spoke to the serpent and told the serpent, I will put enmity between you and between the woman, between her seed and your seed. This is the eternal battle until Christ comes back and takes his throne. And then even then, if you know prophecy, you can know and understand that when he comes back and when he takes his throne, everybody still doesn't believe. We have to recognize that we are in a world where there are two camps, where there are two forces. There is the force and power of darkness. There is the kingdom of light. There is God and there is the devil. The devil's defeated. His power was taken away at Calvary. It was broken when Christ was crucified on that cross, because Jesus paid the price for our sin. And sin no longer has power over us. And it's sin that gives death its power. So death has no longer power over us, because our sins have been taken care of. And that's why whenever we face a Goliath, even if God allows us to die in that battle, we still win, because we're absent from the body and we're present with the Lord. All right, now I'm giving you several things that you need to have, that you need to remember when there is a Goliath in your life, when there is an enemy of God in your life, not a personal conflict between you and some other brother or some other sister. I want you to make sure that you understand that. And the first thing that we saw is that you are not to be dismayed. You are not to be dismayed, but you are to fear God, not man, because the fear of man brings a snare. All right, now what's the second thing that I want you to get down? Well, the second thing I want you to get down is this, that you need to remember, you need to keep on remembering who the enemy is coming against. It's not just you. And this is what David understood. And I want to pick up these scriptures and look at them with you in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and in verse 10, this is what the Philistine says. The Philistine, and the Philistine is Goliath, and you're marking that. And by the way, if you haven't downloaded our study guide, go to our website, preceptsforlife.com, and there you can find out how to download the study guide so you can study with us. We're marking the Philistine. I put a brown box around this Philistine so that I see him. And what he says in verse 10 is this, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we might fight together. When he says, I defy the ranks of Israel today, you can know this, that if he is defying Israel, he is defying the pupil, the apple of God's eye. And God says, don't you touch the apple of my eye. Don't you touch the pupil of my eye. I mean, the pupil is very, very sensitive. And that's how they know many times if a person is alive or dead, they touch the pupil. And if there's no reaction, the person is dead. God is not dead. He's not going to die. And he says, don't you touch the pupil of my eye. So he's defying them. And what the children of Israel, when they're in this 40 days of fear, is they don't stop and think, hey, wait a minute. It's not just us that he's against. It's our God that he's against. And if it's our God that he's against, then we need to turn to God. And this is what David does. And what you see is you see the separation of men that are overcome by fear, that are trapped in fear. The fear of man brings a snare. And a young man that looks at God and trusts in God. So you have to remember this. You have to keep on remembering this when a Goliath is in your life. Now, the second scripture I want you to look at is verses 25 and 26. And it says, the men of Israel said, have you seen this man coming up? Surely he is coming up to defy Israel. And it will be that the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches. He will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. Then David spoke to the men who were standing by, saying, what will be done to the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? Listen, there is a reproach on God's people when the enemy of God is coming against them and they're standing there with their knees knocking and they're absolutely shaking. It is a reproach. It is a reproach on Israel. And if Israel is the pupil of God's eye, and it is, then it's a reproach against God. And so then David says, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt? Now listen, the armies, and he doesn't stop there. He doesn't say, who is he that he should defy the armies? Who is he that should defy the armies of Israel? Listen to what he says. Who is he that he should taunt the armies of the living God? The living God. It's not just the army, but it's the army that is there representing who God is and representing God. So it's the armies of the living God. Now, this is what I would like to suggest that you do if you haven't downloaded your study guide yet. I just took a black micro pen and put a fine, you know, like black cloud around this part of verse 10 where he says he's defying the armies of Israel. And I did the same thing at verse 26. So immediately in my Bible, I can look down and see where that is marked. And I can see the repetition of it. All right. Now, in seeing that repetition, I want to take you to verse 36 because you see it again in verse 36. So I'm jumping now into the middle of the scripture that I haven't read to you yet, but I will read it to you in just a minute. He says, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine. When he's saying uncircumcised, he's saying, okay, he's not a part of God's covenant people. And because he's not a part of God's covenant people, he's in opposition to God's covenant people. Because when God instituted circumcision, and that's in Genesis chapter 17, He told the Abraham that any man that came in, any foreigner that wanted to believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that that man had to be circumcised. And if any Jew was not circumcised, he was outside the covenant. He was outside the blessing of God. Now, circumcision is the way that they defined them. This is what they did in the days of Hitler. I mean, if they wanted to know, is this a Jew in disguise that's posing as a Gentile, they'd just pull the man's pants down and they would see if he was a Jew. Because this is the sign of the covenant. So we've got the enemies of God against the people of God. And so he says, since he has taunted the armies, and he goes beyond the armies to the armies of the living God. This is so vital that you remember this. You need to remember, hey, it is God's battle. God is the one that has the battle going on, and I'm simply his foot soldier. I am there to say, yes, sir. I am there to be under his command, but I am to be under his command. So that when the Goliath looms, you just don't pick up your sword and just run out and start flinging that sword and going like this, like mad. You don't do that. What you do is you sit down. You sit down and you wait before God and you say, God, all right, tell me, what am I supposed to do? How am I to handle this? You're the commander in chief. I'm just one of the foot soldiers. Now tell me, God, what I'm supposed to do. All right, so let's look at a couple scriptures on this, because I want you to see this and I want you to understand it. And I want you to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now 2 Chronicles 20 hasn't happened yet in the history of Israel, but we find another man, Jehoshaphat, that is facing the enemy. And when Jehoshaphat faces the enemy, you find him doing exactly what he should do. Let's look at it. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15. This is what he says. Listen, all Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. This is the word of God to King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord, do not fear or be dismayed because of this multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Now, what you see here is you see a combination of the two principles that I've given you. Number one, do not fear. The fear of man brings a snare. So this is the prophet now speaking to the children of Israel, speaking to King Jehoshaphat, who was in charge of the children of Israel. And this is what he's saying. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. Why? The battle is not yours. It is the Lord's. The battle is not yours. It is the Lord's. Now, what he does is he says, tomorrow, go down against them, and behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz, that you will find them at the end of the valley in the wilderness of Jeruel. You need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves, stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out to face them, for the Lord is with you. David went out to face Goliath, and he could do it because he remembered the principle that I'm giving you. And the principle is that the battle is the Lord's. The battle is not against flesh and blood. You're not in that kind of a battle. You're in a spiritual battle, and God's going to take control. You need to listen to Him. We'll talk about it right after this important announcement.
on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Welcome back, beloved. When we look at this important second point, I want you to remember that when you're in this battle against this Goliath, that this Goliath is an enemy of God. And because it's an enemy of God, he's fighting against God. You represent God to him. It's like all the stuff that is coming against Christendom today. I mean, people want to take us and shove us in the closet. They want us to go to church, and then they want us to lock the church and bar the doors and don't have anything to say about moral issues, don't have anything to say about how the government should be run. Just keep your mouth shut. Keep God out of it. Listen, that is not what we are to do. We've got to remember that God is looking for Davids. God is looking for men and women who will believe God, who will remember that the battle is the Lord's and that we're his foot soldier, but there's no retirement in the time of war, that we're on active duty. And because we're on active duty, as it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, that and let me read it to you because I want you to see it. In fact, if you'll turn there, it's so important. And it's 2 Timothy, and it's chapter 2, and this is what he says in verse 3, "Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." No soldier in active service entangles himself with the affairs of everyday life that he might please him who has enlisted him to be a soldier. And now, since we're in the New Testament, I want you to go to the last book just before Revelation, which is Jude. It's just one chapter long. And in Jude verse 3, he's telling us that in the last days, we're going to fight battles. And you and I just have to know that. And we have to remember, we're in a battle. The battle is the Lord's. We're his foot soldier. We're to stay on the front lines. We are to suffer hardship with him. He has enlisted us. We're in active duty. And in verse 3, this is what he says. He says, "Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you earnestly contend for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints." Now, this is the faith that was once for all handed down to the saints. It's the Word of God. And we are to contend for it, and we are to stand for it, and we're to know, and we're not to be embarrassed. If our nation would return to the principles and precepts of God, we wouldn't have all these murders. We wouldn't have all these horrendous things being done to children. We wouldn't have all these broken families and living with parents that have been married and remarried so that we don't even know who our father is or our mother is, because our society is so messed up. If we had a fear of God and we would return to the precepts of God, then our society would level out and calm, and once again the children would be able to play in the streets without fear. But they can't do that anymore. It's because we departed, because we've lost a fear of God. So we have to earnestly contend for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. All right, now we come to the third point that I want you to see, and that is very important also, and that is you're not to be swayed or discouraged by others when you're in a battle with a Goliath. When you're in a battle with a Goliath, he's called you to the front lines. He intends for you to stay there. He intends for you not to fear the enemy. He intends for you to remember that the battle is the Lord's, but he also doesn't want you to be discouraged by others. Now, watch what happens to David. 1 Samuel chapter 17. It says, now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. He was asking the men, all right, what's going to be done to the person that brings down Goliath? And how dare he defy the armies of the living God? And so Eliab's brother is listening. And Eliab's anger burned against David. And he said, why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your insolence and the wickedness of your heart, for you've come down in order to see the battle. You've left your guard post. You've left your duty with those sheep. And you've just come down here because you just want to stand there and gaze like a little boy at the battle. So here he is trying to shame his brother, trying to get his brother to go home. But David said, what have I done? I mean, can't you just hear a younger brother to an older brother? What have I done? What is the question? What do you have? I mean, why are you questioning me this way? And then he turned away from him to another and said the same thing. And the people answered the same thing as before. What's going to happen? And they tell him what's going to happen. And when the words which David spoke were heard, they told them to Saul, and Saul sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Now here's a young lad, comparatively, standing before the king, this tall, tall giant of a man also. Saul was very tall. He was head and shoulders above the others. Standing before him and saying, look, I'll go fight against this Philistine. Then Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth while he's been a warrior from his youth. You've been a warrior. I mean, he's been a warrior. You're not a warrior. Don't go. Once again, there's discouragement. But David said to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or bear came and took a lamb from the flock. I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he arose against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. He just reached up and grabbed that old lion's beard and held him there and whopped him with his club or whatever and killed the lion. He says, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them since. Now catch it. He understands since he has taunted the armies of the living God. Don't be discouraged, beloved. When people come to you and say there's no way you can win that battle, listen, it is single individuals that have determined that they are going to accomplish what they believe God has called them to accomplish. And others may come along and others may say, oh, you can't do it. But listen, if you will stand for God, if you will not fear man, but you will fear God, if you will remember that the battle is the Lord's, and if you will not allow yourself to be discouraged, I promise you that you will have victory, that you will win the battle, that you will come out as more than a conqueror. God told Joshua, God told the children of Israel, he has said it over and over again, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be dismayed. And these are the words of encouragement that we need. So I don't know who the battle's with. I don't know what area the battle's in. But I know this, that if God has called you to the front lines, beloved, God is with you. And if God is with you, who can be against you? Because you have God Almighty on your side. So just be faithful and remember, the battle is the Lord's.
Thank you.
is God's precept for life for you today, beloved. It's this. You remember that the battle is the Lord's. And so don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged by others. Instead, have faith. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us this. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Those who come to Him, to God, must believe that He is. That He is what? That He is God. And that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Let's go back and look for a minute at 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 37. Because when he turns to Saul and he says, listen, he says, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them since he has taunted the armies of the living God. And David said, now listen to his faith, and the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and may the Lord be with you. He saw David's faith. He saw David's strength. And where was David's faith? And where was his strength? Was it in himself? No, it was in God. He says, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, is able to deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. In other words, David knew his God. Daniel 11:32b says this, that the people who know their God will display strength and they will be able to take action. In other words, they're not going to be immobilized with fear. They're going to be able to do what they need to do. You and I, beloved, need to know and understand these principles because I'm telling you more and more as we see the day approaching, as we see the coming of the Lord, more and more as the nations align, more and more as the structure of the world changes and they move farther and farther away from Christianity, God is going to need Davids. God is going to need women and men that know God, that do not fear man, but trust in God, that are not going to be dismayed, but are going to remember that the battle is the Lord's and that we are able to win. And whether we win or lose in that particular battle, there's a long-range program ahead. And all we have to do is to be a faithful soldier of Jesus Christ. We just need to salute and say, yes, sir. And we need to go forward and know that we've got all the host of heaven behind us.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.